Thank you, Lord. God is an awesome God. Amen. You have your Bibles, turn with us to 2 Thessalonians, where we'll be sharing God's word with you. 2 Thessalonians. And while you're turning there, I want to just welcome those that are joining online. Amen. That song, the goodness of God, that really should be our praise all of the time. Amen. All, not just on Sunday, but every day, we ought to be giving God thanks. He didn't have to be good. He didn't owe you anything last night. But early this morning, hallelujah, God let your eyes come open one more time. Now, you can get cute and don't want to give him praise. You can do that if you want to. But as for me, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him because he's been so what? Good. Give him glory and praise because he's worthy. Amen. Amen. Your goodness is running after. Lord, your goodness.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
With my life.
With my life laid down. I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
That's why we can say, all my life.
You have been faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
And all my life you have been so,
so good. Every breath that I am
made. I will sing. Amen. I will sing of God's goodness. I invite your attention now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 12. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself above everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Thus, in the reading of God's holy word, we're going to talk about the wicked warning. The wicked warning. You may be seated. We received a prayer request that you would indeed pray. Just wanted to ask for prayer for the family of Jamie Dickerson. Loretta Clement's son, William Vaughn, departed this life on November 6, 2024. So the family is asking for prayer. Amen. And as Reverend Ray has already stated, other families have lost loved ones, and we need to keep them in prayer. We regretfully lost one of our cousins up in Connecticut, and asking for prayer. Irvin Mosley passed away, and so we're asking that you would pray. We call him Ernest, and we're asking that you would pray for the family, that God would keep them during this time. Amen? Why do we talk about wickedness? Well, it's one of the things that we find in the Bible that God warns about. And as we look at it from the light of prophecy, prophecy is not some strange word or some strange phrase that God is using to frighten us, but rather to prepare us. Prophecy is talking about something that will happen in the future, that God wants you to do something about that now, so that when it takes place, you will not be surprised, you will not be caught off guard, but you would be prepared and have that faith in God of knowing God's working it out. We don't ever want you to be afraid of prophecy. As a matter of fact, you're told to embrace it. Embrace it. It is something that will guide you. It is something that will help you to have comfort and joy in your life so that God will be able to keep on blessing you. How many want God to keep on blessing you? But we also talk about prophecy from the standpoint of where, when we look at things like wickedness, we say to ourselves, that can't be me. Well, why would God give you a warning if you were exempt? Why would he warn you about something if it wasn't possible for you to get into something like that? So prophecy helps us to be warned. And all of the apostles, Paul, Peter, John, they wrote revelations to tell us about the things that will occur in the future so that you would walk uprightly. And as the Bible talks about it, be diligent to serve God. Never get lax in your stand. And when you are standing and walking by faith, you don't ever want to get so comfortable to where you say to yourself, I got this. No, God's got you. And if you walk close to him, you'll understand the will of God and know that he's working all things for his own glory and for his praise. So when we think about the threats that are facing people in our world today, we go back to our list and we talk about deception, fear, hopelessness, restlessness, lack of compassion, rage, and now wickedness. Wickedness. Has it been here? Absolutely. It's been here all along. But the Bible talks about as you approach the end of time, it's going to get to the place where now it's magnified. In other words, people, when they did things, they had some shame. Now, there's no shame. Matter of fact, there's boldness. Matter of fact, people that do evil will think that, well, I'm doing what I want, so that must be right. We have approached a dangerous place in time where there is no regard for your value or the value of anyone else. People want for themselves and no one else. And they'll trample over you to get there. So the wickedness has to do with the reckless disregard for everything that is right. Disregard. Why should I warn you? Because if you're not careful, you'll find yourself gradually getting more and more to where you feel comfortable doing wrong. Now, just as a quick question, how many of you, when you know you're doing wrong, you say to yourself, I know I'm doing wrong, and you got this little bit of shame about you? When people confront you over it, you kind of tuck your head and you say, yeah, I did wrong. But in the day of wickedness, when everything is drawn that is keeping it from happening, when all of that is out of the way, people will do whatever they want and will say to themselves, you know what? I just don't care. Give you a picture of wickedness. You think about Jezebel. Jezebel had no regard for life, no regard for anyone else except her own way. And her husband Ahab, who was supposed to represent the kingdom of God, being the king of Israel, he kind of just went along with the game, just went along to go along. So what I'm asking you to do is to think about your own life, your own relationship with God, and say to yourself, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm walking in your will. Some of the other things that we'll be talking about as the Lord leads us, idolatry, perversion, and of course, selfishness. But let's talk about this wickedness. Let's get into this. Because I feel that very strongly, you and I need to know what is the meaning of it. Now, of course, these verses are talking about the revelation of the Antichrist. If you've heard about it, he will be a person that represents the embodiment of evil. The scripture says that the secret power of lawlessness already works in the world, but the Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to be against everything that is of God. Has he been revealed yet? Not yet. Not yet. But you see the signs everywhere where it's pointing to someone that is going to defy God to the point where they set themselves up as God and they will demand that people worship them. We're living in some critical times. Amen? So the Bible speaks of wickedness as a particular evil that involves pride. And while this level of wickedness or lawlessness is ascribed to the Antichrist, it can be shared by others. You can get swept up in it. And you can be engaged in it. And just to give you some idea of what we're talking about, in the book of Ephesians, it tells us that we're to put on the whole armor of God. People think of that as decoration or as walking in some parade. That's not why you put on the whole armor of God. You put it on because you want to arm yourself. What's happening? You are engaged in a battle against the powers of darkness. Wickedness is drawing its strength from the devil himself. And the devil is out to destroy anyone or anything that has to do with God. He wants to see you go down. He wants to see me go down. And if he can do it through his main tool of deception, he will do certainly that. Amen. So we're to put on the whole armor of God. And we're to stand in the evil day. And why does the Bible tell us to stand? Because we're facing now wickedness in government, wickedness in people that are walking on the street. Wicked, you better be ready for it. There are some mean folk in this world. They don't care a thing about your life or mine. It's almost like you got to step lightly around, folks. But when you have the armor of God, you should not fear any evil. Why? Because the Lord is with you. Let me ask you something. Hadn't he taken care of you every day up till now? Hadn't God made a way for you? Hasn't he provided for your need? And all God wants you to know that during this time, he is there with you. Amen. Having on that armor with which you have a part of that, your shield of faith. Having on the helmet of salvation, of knowing that nobody can take away what God has blessed you with, or your salvation, the saving of your soul. Knowing within your heart that you got prayer, that you got the word of God, you got the things of God to guide your life and to guard your life. That's what God says for us to do. You put on that whole armor of God and you make sure that you're standing against the forces of evil. And I'm not going to be a doomsday predictor, because I got some good news in here as well. I said I got some good news in it, but I got to give you the bad news before I can give you the good news. The bad news is the folk going to get worse. The bad news is that a lot of things that are happening in our world today is happening for a reason. But the good news is it ain't over until God. Hallelujah, somebody. So it says the secret power, which means that it has not been fully exposed yet. God has not gotten to the place where he's saying, I want you to see this, but what I want you to realize from a prophetic standpoint, get prepared. Don't let the storm come and you don't have an umbrella or something to keep you during the time of storm. And when you've got this in your heart, Paul said in that verse, he said, I've told you this before and I'm telling you again. Now, let me just share with you, a lot of times what we want to do when we come to church, we want the preacher, happy. We want to tell us something. I'm going to tell you something good when the Lord tells me to do that, but there are times that you need to be warned. Now you think about this. If you got a child and you don't want them to play in the street because there are cars coming up and down the street, you wouldn't just say, go out to have fun. You don't want them to get in the street, right? So you're trying to protect them. And when Paul was sharing this with the church, he was telling them, listen, all of these things are happening in the world. And for you to know that they're happening, for you to be on the alert, for you to be on your guard is where God would have you to be, so that when it happens, you can say, yep, that's it. There are a lot of people that are getting downhearted about things in this world that you cannot change. All right? I'm telling you, cheer up. Because Jesus said you're going to go through these things before you get to glory. Lord, I didn't want to preach right here. We're looking at the stuff. I'm looking beyond the stuff. I'm seeing a paradise. I'm seeing that God is the one preparing a place for you and me so that we can inhabit that place where the wicked cease from what? Troubling. And the weary are at rest. That's what I'm talking about. So when Paul said this, he was trying to prepare the church at Thessalonica. He'd already told them the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. But now he's describing some of the conditions and the things that will go on in the world, so that when you start to see it happening, you won't get upset and say, well, he ain't coming. He's coming. You just got to hold on a little longer, and the Lord will work things out. Amen? So when we look at wickedness, we're seeing this lawlessness, disregard for everything that is right. We're seeing people that are saying to themselves, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want. You ever notice that? How many of y'all got kids? So you know a little bit about lawlessness and what they could be. Sometimes you tell your kid, now don't do such and such. What do they do? Go and do it anyway. And then they look at you and say, I ain't know that was going to happen. I told you. And a lot of us, if we are parents, we would hurry up and tell folk. We would hurry up and let them know. Our young people, we would hurry up and let them know. The reason why I'm telling you not to do it, because I did it and I didn't get away with it. Come on, be honest now. So we've got to understand that these things will come to pass. And then it says in the word, verse 8, it says, and the lawless one will be revealed. And what's going to happen to him? And the Lord will overthrow them with the breath of his mouth and destroy them by the splendor of his coming. And that's going to be the end of that. I'm going to share a little bit more about that, but I want to just give you some idea of why are people falling into this wickedness. Why is it that people are drawn to it? And I'm going to tell you something. You got to be careful with that device that you hold in your hand. All I wanted was a phone. That's all I wanted. And they gave me a device to tell me stuff. I don't want to know that. How many of y'all feel like me? I just want a phone. Just want a phone. Now you got so much that you can just Google and search. I would say that you have one of those branches off of the tree of knowledge, holding it in your hand. You're looking at the branch. And it's telling everything you want to know, even if it's lying to you. How many of y'all realize that half the stuff that they tell you on Google is a lie? Y'all figuring that out? You just, all you want is direction. Okay, if you're so smart, give me direction. It'll leave you right in the middle of the street. You have a ride? No, I ain't a ride. What is driving this wickedness? Where's it coming from? Three things. Greed. People are not satisfied having enough. They want to have it all, including what you got. They're not satisfied. The Bible calls it covetousness. Why do you think God wrote that commandment, thou shalt not covet? You say, wait a minute, that's just a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. For you to have covetousness in your heart and to want something that doesn't belong to you, now you're going to make a way to get it, and the wicked are doing it. The greed. Paul says, I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to sit down. I've learned how to be quiet. I've learned how to live in a life that's satisfied. I've learned that if God don't give you what you need, nobody can. You wonder why the Bible says wait on the Lord. That's one of the reasons. God wants you to be content knowing that He is your provider. Second reason people have it is this thing called lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. John talked about that. When you have those things driving you, your eyes are now telling you, if you see it, get it. Body is saying, if you feel like you want it, you know the Isley Brothers song. You ain't even saved all your life. So it's telling you, do those things. But it's not telling you there are repercussions if you do those things. But if you live the life of control, who's going to control me? God will. Who's going to tell me and guide me when mom and dad or other people are not in my life? Who's going to tell me what's right and wrong? Holy Spirit. He leads you. He keeps you. Jesus said when he left the disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And why did he come? So that you'll know evil when you see it. And you'll know how to say no to it. I remember when I was about 17 years old. Didn't know cocaine from anything else. 17 years old. But my granddaddy said to me at 9 years old, if somebody wants to give you some powder and telling you that you need to take it and put it up your nose, you walk away. 17 years old, there I was standing, and the guy was saying, man, I'll give you something that'll put you on cloud nine. I looked at it, white powder, and then I remember what my granddaddy said, walk away from it. Ladies and gentlemen, when God tells you something, you better listen. It'll save your life. It'll save your soul. You cannot go with everything that tells you if you do this, you'll feel good. But what's going to happen tomorrow morning when I wake up, if I wake up? The world now is being crazed with this stuff. Every other commercial on your TV is about some medication that'll help you through your suffering. If you got any kind of problem, they can solve it. Problem. Let me tell you something. I don't believe anything can keep you from getting old. Except one thing, and that's you're going to die young. They can give you all the medicine in the world. You're still going to get old. And guess what? As you get old, your body going to ache. Amen. Now you can get all the stuff, buy everything on the counter. And you're going to wake up still in pain. Lord, why? I need a pill. No, you just need to pray, Lord, have mercy and let God lead you. All right, let me go and preach. I done got sidetracked. I'm rabbit chasing now. The last thing is hatred. And why is hatred? Jesus said that in that day the love of many shall wax cold. And when your love begins to decrease, hatred. I don't like so-and-so. Why you don't like them? I don't know why I don't like them. I just don't like them. There are people that are hating all over this world. But you know what I said the other day? I'm going to make a commitment that the meaner folks get to me, they are to me, I'm going to smile and say, you have a nice day. Will y'all help me out? So when they bristle up at you, you smile and say, have a nice day. Now learn that from Miss Kabler now. Why am I taking that attitude? You could lower yourself to their level. But what's going to happen? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, they kill your dog, you kill their cat. Hatred. And the only power that can conquer this is the power of God. Are y'all still with me? I'm going to let you go in a minute, but I told you, I got to tell you something so you'll know. Paul said that these things would happen in our world. They are the driving attitudes of our world today. And it's not just here in America. You go to England, you can find folk just like that. They're going to be telling you, hello, bloke. You know, and they, you know. And the next thing you know, they've done something to you or showed how they are. It's all over the world. Wickedness is everywhere. But don't let it abide in you. Don't let it make a home in your heart. That's why you're in service. That's why you go to church. Because God sees that over a week's time, you collected all these thoughts, all these attitudes, all this stuff. And you come into church, you just want to praise the Lord. But what God is really doing, he's cleansing you through his word. Amen. He's getting that negativity out of you. I don't come to church because I just got a sermon to preach. I come because I need God in my life. I can't keep it straight. But when I come to him and when I come to church and say, yeah, Lord, I did say that, didn't I? And you get your life straight with God. The Lord purges you. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful. 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 To forgive us of our sin. And what else? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's why we're here. Look at somebody and tell them, that's why we're here. Now, getting ready to close. But there's somebody who's holding this back. You see it? Paul said these things would have happened. I told you about them. But someone is holding these things back. He's keeping it from happening. You only got three options. Only got three options. One is government. Is government holding people back? Now, they'll keep people from doing wrong. No, they won't. You do wrong and then they'll punish you. You agree with that? Don't believe it? Go up 2,900 miles an hour. The government going to tell you, go and do it. But then that man with that blue light special going to say, you know how fast you were going. By the way, if you go a certain speed, they don't call it just reckless driving. I watched the judge down in Bedford County, threw a boy in jail because he's going 120 miles an hour. Just see how fast the car can go. Judge said, you going to jail today because you are a crime getting ready to happen. Threw him in jail. I watched the deputies. They hauled him right off. I said, Lord, let me take my foot off this pedal. So is government keeping you from doing wrong? No, you do wrong, and they'll make you pay for it. So what are the other options? Here's a good one. Here's the best one. Is it the Holy Spirit? Now, a lot of us that have received the Spirit, we would agree that He keeps you from doing things that are wrong. Why? Because He talks to you. The Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance, and the Lord will tell you, don't do that. He guides you. If He's not guiding you, then you don't have the Spirit. Now, can you get it? Yeah, absolutely can. All you got to do is ask for it. Ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll come into your life. So is it the Holy Spirit? Now, it said that the wicked one will not be revealed until that one be taken out of the way. Now, you and I know that doing what we call the tribulation, evil time coming on the world, during the tribulation, some people will get saved. How are they going to get saved? Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can cause you to be born again or born from above. It's got to be the Spirit. So we now know that the Holy Spirit is going to be here even when the Antichrist comes on the world. All right? We only got one other option. If it's not government, if it's not the Holy Spirit, it must be the church. I said it must be the church. Now, what would give us the idea that the church is the one that's holding back the evil one from being revealed? Number one, we've been told who he is. So when you look at prophecy, you kind of like looking through the times that God will tell you. It's kind of like when you used to sit and watch the old pictures in the picture. Remember the photo album? Now you got it on your phone. That's another thing about the phone. Y'all need to delete some of them old pictures. This is me. All right, that's another story for another time. Okay. What was that? Okay. But the Holy Spirit is the one that is teaching us. But now when we look at the church of the living God, we automatically know that Antichrist is coming. He's going to be against everything that God said. So when he comes, we the first ones are going to be saying, there he is. Why? Because we know. But now, here's what the Bible said. Those will be taken out of the way. How will they be taken out of the way? Go back to 1 Thessalonians. It said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Is this too deep for you? I need to tell you anyway, so I don't care how deep it is. I'm going to keep telling you. I'll just check and see whether you're breathing. Now, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because God is going to remove the church from that environment. He's not doing it because you're so perfect. You're so righteous. He's doing it because of his mercy. He's doing it because he loves you. And the picture that God showed me was Lot. Remember Lot? In the Bible, Lot, the nephew of Abraham, chose to live in a neighborhood that was jacked up. You think where you live is bad? No, 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 no. Sodom and Gomorrah were the worst places on earth that you could possibly live. And here's Lot. Look like, man, I can have a good life down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what a lot of y'all tell yourself. Go on and forge yourself into something, then you'd be praying, God, help me get out of this. Amen. I start to tell y'all something about how I lived in some neighborhoods out in Oklahoma. Oklahoma City. You know, when you ain't got much money, you just gotta go where you gotta go, right? Amen. We lived out in Oklahoma City. I know you don't want to hear, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. Lived out in Oklahoma City. Even the roaches were bad. I mean, when you got a roach that's gangster, you in a bad neighborhood. And Lord have mercy, I was so glad when I got discharged from the service, I could get up out of there. Lot lived there. And the Bible says, according to Peter, the Apostle Peter, Peter says that his soul was vexed every day. He saw some stuff that he didn't want to see. He heard things that he didn't want to hear. He was in an environment where everywhere he looked, people were doing wrong. And guess what? One day two angels showed up. Why did they show up? They said, Lot, I'm here to get you out of here. I'm about to shout now. I'm almost finished with my sermon. I'm not going to even need to use the notes. I am. And listen what the angel said. They said, now we have been sent by God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But I got to get you out of here first. Good God Almighty. What is God saying to the church? I want you to know that the wicked one is coming, but I got to get you out of the way in order for me to deal with him. Lord have mercy. Here's why. Because when the church is out of the way and folks are suffering, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to pray, oh God, get it off of them. But God, someone will get you out of the way so that when I want to punish the wicked, you're not there trying to intercede. We're going to get into intercessory prayer. No. In that day, God's going to pull out his punishment on the earth. But now watch this. Lot was a good man. The Bible even calls him a righteous man. But Lot was not a perfect man. Why? When the Lord told him, Lot, get out of here. He's shuffling his feet. All right, let me see if I can fix the blinds on the window. And the angel had to literally grab them by the hand. Come on. God's going to have to snatch you up. Lord have mercy. Can I preach to somebody? He's going to have to snatch you out of that place that you're in. Why? Because a lot of us are comfortable here. I'm comfortable here. I got my 401k plan. I got a lot of good. I got money in the bank. When the world is being destroyed, you better hurry up and get ready. Help me, somebody. Don't get too comfortable in this world. Plus, the place where you're going, you ain't going to need no 401k. You ain't going to need no silver. You're not going to need any gold. God said, I got everybody say everything. Y'all excuse me for getting excited. But when I read the story, Dexter, I looked at the story. I said to myself, why is God being so patient with Lot? Because he was chosen. He didn't choose God. Matter of fact, after he got out of the city, he ended up committing incest with his two daughters. Why? Because Lot wasn't perfect. But God said, I got to get you out of here. If you look at the church is not perfect. If you don't believe it, we got the capacity to do just as much wrong as anybody else. Why? There's not a week that goes by you don't hear about some preacher committing some type of scandal. And I know y'all looking at me. Yeah, I know you're saying, he ain't lying for me gonna fall. But guess what? Every time I lean, somebody picks me up. I wouldn't dare get here and brag about what I did. If it had not been for the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm about to get happy up in here. So what I'm telling you is, Lot did not deserve to be saved, but God saved him anyway. And if there's some of you who are saying to yourself, I don't deserve to be saved, you don't know God. You don't know how far his goodness goes to take you out of the trouble that you're in and to put you in a good place. Somebody said he picked me up and turned me around. So when you trust him, he'll get you out of stuff. Here's the church in a world. Lord, it's getting bad down here. Lord, it's getting rough down here. And you talk about the church. The church is not perfect. There ain't a week that go by that somebody in the church ain't mad with somebody else because you said something I ain't like. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Go on, say amen to the devil's shame. We're not perfect. But guess what? You're saved. And because you're saved, God says, I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to take you up out of this world. Here's another thing. The children of Israel, when they were in Egyptian bondage, they weren't perfect. Those folks had idols in their suitcase when they were packing up, getting ready to leave it. Let me take this molten image. I might need him. And looking at God in the cloud every day and still say, I might need this. Touch some. No, I didn't say, don't do that. Some of y'all got rabbit foot.
little trinkets, little stuff around your house. Every time you get upset, you go back and rub it. What's wrong with getting on your knees? I know I'm making you mad. I'm going to sit down in a few minutes. But I tell you something else. You have the capacity of being wicked just like anybody else. But guess what? God saved you for a reason. And when the Lord gets ready, I said, when the Lord gets ready, he's coming after his people. And guess what? In the day that we see him, we shall be changed and made like unto his glorious body. Every wrinkle, everything, every flaw is going to be gone when we see Jesus. Somebody say amen. I said, when we see Jesus, I shall be like him. I'm going to walk like him. And I don't know how tall Jesus is, but guess what? I'm going to be tall like him. I love the Lord, for he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Church, we're going to be taken up. We're the ones that's holding this thing back. Very quickly, I want to close my message by giving you a couple of things here. I want you to, everybody say, heed the warning. Look at somebody else, tell them, heed the warning. First thing is, don't be deceived. Don't let folk lie to you. And why do I say that? This world is not your home. All right, you get that? There's a difference between me staying at a place where I'm renting overnight and me staying at my house. And by the way, I ain't gonna ever own that house. And I paid for it, Al. But I ain't gonna ever own it. Why? Because every time the fall of the year come, here come the states and we want some money. Anybody else like me? All right. I'm going to finish preaching in a minute. I know y'all worried when they going to get finished. I'm going to finish that. Don't be deceived. How do you not be deceived? Keep your mind, keep your focus on Christ. Pray for people in this world. Pray for the job that you're on. Pray for the nation that you're in. But keep your eye on Jesus. If you don't keep your eye on Jesus, you're going to get messed up. You're going to fall into this stuff. Second thing that I need you to say, look at somebody and tell them, amen, here's a warning. Y'all ain't saying that. I'm the one with preaching. Second thing is remember. Remember. Remember what God has done for you. Paul told them in verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians, remember when I told you this before. We have a bad memory. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Every time you get a refund check on your taxes, you know you're supposed to tithe, right? Huh? First fruits of all your increase, you're supposed to tithe, right? You think everybody tithe? No! I'm going to go out and buy me a big screen TV. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember that God has brought you this far. Remember that you were lost, but now you're found. Remember! You were blind, but now you see. What causes people to drift back into wickedness and to sin is they fail to remember the goodness of God. They fail to recognize that it had to be God. Thirdly, heed the warning. Why? Because you're going to be taken out. He's going to get you out of here. So what you need to do is to be prepared. Be prayed up. Find yourself in the will of God. Every day that you get up, say, Lord, I'm one day closer. I'm one day closer to the coming of the Lord. It says, for the secret of lawlessness already works, except when that one is taken out of the way. And then lastly, everything you do, you give God thanks. Not some stuff. Thank him when folks cussing you out. Thank him when you go in your pocket and find you ain't got nothing but lint. Some of y'all ain't got that. You get there. Thank him when pain takes over your body sometime. Thank him. It says in everything, not for everything, but in everything, you give him thanks. Why? Because the Lord hears your cry. Church, if you do that, I guarantee that not only will you get rid of the wickedness, you'll say to yourself, Lord, I'm waiting on you to come back. I'm waiting for you to take me home to be with you. Is God all right? Is God all right? Pray this prayer with me. Stand on your feet and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for redeeming grace that saved my soul. My life is in your hands. Help me to prepare for your return. Please deliver me from the power of wickedness and evil. Let me love as you love. I give you praise and thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for blessing us in this worship service, and I pray that I've said something that helped. Pray that I've said something that will cause people to think about their life, where they are in their relationship with you. God, most importantly, that you would bless them and know that our time in this world is limited. Help us to see the light. Help us, more importantly, to walk in the light. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. Keep us in your grace. In Jesus' name. And all the children of God said amen. Amen. And amen. I'm going to give the invitation. If there may be one today, very quickly, and you decided to make Christ your choice, if you decided that I've had enough of this world, I want to live for God, if that's you, we invite you to come. The altar is open. Most we can do is shake your hand, pray for you. But God himself will save you and redeem you if you're here today. Will you come? If you're online, we know you can't come in here, but you can say, preacher, I heard what you said, and I want to ask Christ to save me. That's you. You can write to us and correspond and let us know that you made that choice. You made that decision. Is there one?
Thank you.
the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible said he took bread, and having broken it, he gave to his disciples and said, eat. And then he gave them the cup also and said, drink all of it. As we pray over this, we reflect on and we remember what Christ gave for us, his very life. Let us pray. Father, bless the sacraments now. Change it from its natural use to its spiritual use. May it remind us of how much you gave, but may it also remind us how much you loved. Bless it, that it be a blessing to us and that we can be a blessing to others. In Christ's name we pray. Let us take the bread now and let us eat together. Thank you, Jesus. Get happy taking communion. Thank you, Lord. Let us take the cup. Let us drink together. Amen. And the Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives singing. How many of y'all got a song of your heart? An old song. But when we're going way back now. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
That you have given to us through thy manservant, we thank you. Lord, we pray that it may become part of our hearts and that as we live here, Lord, we may be able to go out and share it with others. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you have given to us, the privilege of giving. We thank you, God, for allowing us to participate in such a wonderful gift of giving. We do pray and ask your blessings upon the offering that men and women may be able to hear the word of God and be saved. Thank you for all of what you've done. And thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.